This is Rakadex After Hours.
Welcome to Rack Addicts After Hours, a podcast that is edging closer to the double century. This is episode 190, and my name is Ben. Peter's here, we're in Rack Addicts Towers, and we're going to talk about music and technology, and probably NobCon, because there's some releases that are interesting. Firstly, though, we must visit Pete's week. What have you been doing?
I've had quite an interesting week. Some disappointments, some joyous things, a real mixture.
Do tell.
So I'll start with the slight disappointment. In anticipation of NobCon, Jeremy from Red Means Recording posted a video on YouTube in his usual kind of comedic style, sort of slightly satirical kind of, I don't know how you describe it. It's almost...
Well, I think the more recent stuff could be described as batshit crazy, but you can't put that in the podcast. You're going to have to edit it out and do this really awkward. How are you going to figure this one out, Pete?
Yeah. Ooh. No, I might just leave it in and drop you in it.
Anyway, Editing
Pete. So Jeremy posted a video featuring a module called a Pet Rock.
Indeed. I've got the wonderfully animated web page open in front of me.
Yes. So I thought it was a very interesting module, and it was very inexpensive. Basically, its first issue, or the first batch, was $30 plus delivery charges. So I started watching the video, got quite excited, thinking I must acquire one of these things. Clicked on the link within the YouTube video posting, went to the site for the gentleman who's designed the product, which also enabled me to link to where they're actually being sold, which was SynthCube, which is a US-based kit.
Kind of a US thonk, isn't it?
Yes, it's a US thonk, basically. And they had six of the units still left, and I faffed around a bit and thought, no, I'll just dart back and watch the rest of the video just to sort of whet my appetite a little bit more. And then alas, when I went back, those six units had already sold.
Dang.
So I'm thinking what actually happened was Jeremy released the video. Lots of people did exactly what I did, watched it, went, oh, I went to get one. So very successfully got rid of all the units, but it was that kind of, oh, really?
Yeah.
So the unit comes as a kit form, and as what I can tangibly understand about it, it sends out certain kinds of rhythmic triggers that you can send to anything that can accept a trigger, and the triggers were dispensed in line with the phases of the moon.
Because why not?
And depending on the phase of the moon and some other parameters, and obviously the speed of the clock signal that you put in, that produced the output. And I think generally the gist I got, there was at least two outputs.
It's an A and a B.
Yeah, so in the video, he's talking, having conversation with himself. It's not actually himself, it's himself in the face of the moon.
Yeah.
A bit Mighty Boosh-esque, I thought.
In the video he did for Test Chamber, I think he called his alter ego Jeremiah.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, so highly disappointed, to be honest.
Damn. Yeah, it's got phases of the moon down the right and the day of the week on the left. So it's every day it'll be a new rhythmic pattern, and the phase of the moon will also affect what appears.
Yes. So I've put my name down for the mailing list, so hopefully they'll get another batch going, because there's not a lot to it. It's using some sort of really discreet, I don't know if it's a Raspberry Pi,
like a Teensy or something.
Yeah, it's a discrete Pi type of processor, and it's quite inexpensive as well. I think I looked it up and it was about $1.40 for the processor.
That is cheap.
Yeah, but that's just one of the things you need. The other thing, because I read the whole description from the designer, what components he was using and his logic for doing it. So there's a clock in there with a battery. I can't remember how long the battery will go. I think it's on the webpage that you're looking at the moment. And it doesn't really matter. The clock is only powering itself internally. It's not like driving some clock hands or a little LCD display or anything like that. So it's just keeping general time. And I think he stated that it didn't matter if it lost time. It just generally needed to be in the right time. And then he also found he could load the phases of the moon statistics into the processor as well for a number of years.
Not bad.
Quite a few years. So it was quite surprising how much data. That's it. So I'm assuming possibly that the rhythmic patterns that it puts out are predefined, and then he's just allocated them to various phases of the moon.
Potentially. I saw somewhere that it grabs its time reference for when you download and load the firmware onto it.
Okay.
So conceivably you could change your computer's time zone or something, or even the date. That date would be more useful. and get a new set. In theory, everybody that has the module will have the same rhythms on the same day, which is the idea.
Yeah, so from what I can tell, you have to wait.
It changes at midnight,
yes.
According to the webpage, which is fun.
So you're going to get something different. I think it's not necessarily, I mean, I suppose you could use it in a performance scenario, but I think you've just really, it's for your own pleasure.
Mm, yeah, it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, no, I'm quite excited, and I think the subsequent batches will be more expensive.
It was an early bird price or something.
Yeah, I think it was literally, we're selling this at cost.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, I don't think it's going to be tremendously expensive when it does get reissued. So that's one of the things that I've been doing this week. The other thing I've been doing is trying to decide what MIDI looper I purchase for the live performance at the test chamber.
MIDI looper, as in you need to play into it first.
You have to...
Rather than just a MIDI sequencer.
Yes, you play or you serve it up a session of MIDI, or a MIDI stream or something like that. Mm. And then it will play it back to you.
Cool.
So I have three candidates.
Mm-hmm. I've never looked into MIDI loopers, to be honest.
No, and I mean, we've covered some of these units before on the podcast, I believe. We certainly talked about them, but there isn't a lot out there. Mm. The type of thing I'm looking for. Now, the first one on my list, unfortunately, isn't available, and that's the MIDIFY Looper, spelled LOOPA.
Interesting.
That one is, if you go for the completely built version, is $599.99.
So it's $600.
Yes, basically. But alas, as always has been the case, every time I look on their website, they never have any in stock.
It's a Eurorack module.
No, it's a desktop module. Mm. These are all desktop modules. I haven't found anything in Eurorack that...
Rather than a foot controllable thing.
Yes. And then the next one is Future Artist MIDI Looper, which is £215, but unfortunately it's only got one channel.
Okay.
So the most likely product that I will purchase is the Bastille Instruments MIDI Looper at £259. Mm. That has three channels which are fully polyphonic.
Gotcha. And how are you planning to integrate such a thing?
Well, basically you send it MIDI, which it records internally.
Yeah.
And you either use that as the trigger to control, because it's got three channels.
Mm-hmm.
You use that to control three sets of instruments, or three instruments, whatever you're trying to achieve. I would imagine that you could send a clock source into it.
Yeah,
that way.
Keep it in sync.
So it's either that or be the, you know, you press the button on that to go and it starts everything, or you, let's say, press something in Eurorack and it sends out the clock which starts it. I'm sure there's multiple ways of achieving it, but yes, the Bastille Instruments MIDI Looper seems to be the product that I'll end up purchasing, but I'm slightly kind of thinking £259, it's a lot for something that I might only use infrequently.
Is this in the context of performing Deep Minds?
Yes,
in the
it's the way that it will trigger the Deep Minds and maybe some other samples in context of using the Scarab with the breakbeats playing on the Erica synth sample drum.
Right, so you'd play in the synth part sort of the first time round and then press the button, it would just carry on.
Well, I would most probably cheat and actually just send the
preload
MIDI,
it or something.
Yeah, send the MIDI from Cubase of that particular track and record it into the MIDI looper.
Right.
It can do, I want to say, 250 bars, so which is pretty adequate.
Yeah.
Time-wise, that depends on the BPM of the track.
Mm.
So, yes, so I'm going to have to purchase one of those this week and really get going. I'm not going to
It is creeping up on us.
Yeah, I'm not going to do what I did last time, which was completely procrastinate right to the end and then have a
little panic, yeah.
Almost a little breakdown and panic completely and change my mind and do plan B and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to really have to try and tie it all together quite quickly.
Test Chamber, of course, is the 30th of September, the 1st of October in Farnborough. Plenty of synth-related activities and performances from the Modular Cafe Aldershot artists, Adrian Utley, Void Null, and local community members. Do come down.
The other thing I've been doing is going through some of the archives, and as we discussed that we would try to insert a bit more music into the podcast, I thought I would play this to our audience. So basically it's recording. It has been played live once before, and you have heard it.
Is it my favourite one?
Yes, several years ago.
Oh, it's so good.
And this is the recorded version of it.
I go back and listen to the live one so often because it's those first 9 or 10 notes have so much power. They're incredible. And the whole thing is just a masterclass in atmosphere and tension.
And I think
it's something else, that one.
The thing I need to explain to our audience is that's just one synth and it's all played live.
It's so cool.
It is a Dave Smith Instruments Polyevolver, which I've stated on many occasions that when I initially got it, I thought of it as a four-voice polyphonic synth. And as I'm rather slow on the uptake, it took me a number of years to really realise that it's four monophonic synths in one.
That's how you have to play it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. Love it.
Anyway, there we go. It's out in the wild.
Awesome. At last. Does it have a name?
No.
You can let us know next week. You've got some time to figure it out.
Yes. There we have it.
In the edit. Nice one.
Anyway, that's mostly what I've been doing this week. It's been a very synthy musical week in one form or another.
Wonderful. Mine has been baking, mostly. I've done 2 batches of Le Croissant this week, and it's been an interesting experiment. And I feel quite greasy because I've just been eating butter, basically, which isn't great. So I tried 2 different recipes, the one from Joshua Weissman on YouTube and one random internet recipe I found. And the random internet recipe was better. So I feel betrayed by the old JW. The internet ones were much easier to fold out. So when you're doing your croissant, I always feel really self-conscious trying to say croissants in a not French or American accent. Anyway, when you're folding and layering your dough, you got to try and keep your dough and butter layers even and separate. You don't want the butter bleeding through, so you get those nice layers. And the dynamics of folding on the second recipe were way better, so I'm pleased with that. I also made pickles for the first time, and it wasn't so good.
I'm not really a pickle fan, to be honest.
I never was until I had sort of the Japanese style of pickled thing, and they tend to be much milder, so they're still that kind of zippy, really, it's kind of an angry flavour, really, the vinegariness, but they're much milder than just a pickle.
I might have to give them a go.
Supposedly good for your digestion.
Yes, isn't vinegar alkaline?
No idea. I didn't do very well in chemistry.
Fair enough. But I believe that wine vinegar is very good for indigestion and things like that.
Yeah, and of course, if it's pickled ginger, ginger's good for you as well.
Yes.
Le gingembre, maybe. I should stop trying to say French words because I didn't do very well in that at school either. Anyway, apart from pickling and croissanting, croissants, oh, I hate it so much. It's a terrible word. Apart from pain au chocolats without the chocolate in them, we've been doing some sound panel construction, haven't we, Pete?
Yes, that was interesting.
Yeah, been going pretty well. I'm quite pleased with them. Well, the one that we've done most of, but it's shaping up nicely.
Yes, I'm very pleased with the outcome. But we have been contemplating the build for, what, 8 months?
Oh, yeah, a very long time. But all the measurements just seem to start falling into place today without us even thinking about them.
Yeah.
Enough.
And we were lucky with the weather because we had to do it outside because of the size of the panels.
Certainly. And you did mention that you were quite satisfied just in the process of making things.
Well, I always derive a sense of achievement and making physical objects. I find it very pleasurable.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made something very small that hardly counts as having made something, and I even felt that little sense of satisfaction as well. I only remembered about it because I'd left my camera on the back seat of the car underneath something so people didn't nick it, and I'd forgotten it was there. But I made a little wrist strap out of a leather tie that normally goes around a Chemex coffee maker, And of course, all that involved was untying it, cutting the ends off a little bit, and putting a split ring on the camera. It took all of a minute and isn't exactly an involved DIY, but even that tiny taste of making stuff was great.
Was the wooden bead on the strap when you...
Yeah, that's part of the Chemex look. So I thought I'd leave it there. So it's still a Chemex tie. It's just on a camera now.
On an analog camera.
Yeah.
How are you getting on with the photography?
Well, I haven't done much because I haven't been able to justify paying for development and scans and stuff, because I have the equipment to scan myself, and I did it once and I never want to do it again. It was awful, really a miserable experience.
Oh dear.
Doing the scanning was tedious but fine, but then you also then have to, you know, process them yourself, and I just couldn't be bothered. I did have 5 rolls of film to do at once, so maybe that wasn't the best time to give it a go.
Okay.
Never again. So it will just be, I think it's about $5.99 for colour. No, it's $4.70 something for colour development at the place that I like. You add scans and you're about a little bit over £10. And then black and white is more like £11 something for some reason. It's more expensive. And then if it's pushing HP5 two stops, which is really nice, then it's more like £13. It's per roll of 35mm film. So I've asked for some vouchers for AG Photographic for my birthday, because I have a backlog developing of exposed film just sitting in the fridge doing nothing.
Brilliant.
Hopefully one day we'll figure out what photos I took. Cool. That means it's time for some synth news, mostly Knobcon flavoured. Let's go with the non-modular ones. Analog Solutions are back at it again, but not with an addition to the Colossus ecosystem that, surprisingly, there's a lot of options in now. There's the normal one, there's a slim one, and now you can get all the bits separately in 4 parts. Ooh, and there's the extender. So there's kind of, depending on how you look at it, you know, 7 or 8. I have to do my math properly.
There's a few.
7. There's 7 separate bits that you could purchase should you so desire, not including oscilloscope options.
So what have they done now?
This one is a new synth with old bits. So it's called the Ample Matrix Synthesizer, and they've combined a bunch of bits from other products that they have. The sound elements of Fusebox, the jack patch points of the Concussor Eurorack module, the patch pin matrix from Vostok, the echo from Dr. Strangelove, and the sequencer and CV touchpads of the Generator. So totally analog, no CPU stabilized or quantized anything. You have a synth that has 3 analog oscillators, one of which can be an LFO, 2 LFOs, analog filter, a VCA, 2 analog envelopes, MIDI support, but pretty much notes and things, nothing wild like system exclusive messages and program changes and things, patchable external CV control sockets, a sequencer with 16 steps, touch keys with a set voltage kind of above them, there's 6 of those, and it's got a delay in there, and it looks pretty cool. Let's have a listen. So it's big and it's hands-on and it looks really cool, and who doesn't want to pin Matrix? Are you ready for our favourite game, Pete?
How much?
Mm-hmm. We're working in great British pounds.
Have you got a picture of it you can show me?
Certainly. Let me get you one of these. We've got a Starsky Car video, should you want a proper rundown of this guy. There it is.
It looks pricey.
It is a bit.
I'm going to say, did we say pounds or dollars?
Great British sterlings.
£5,000.
Nowhere near. It's only £2,000.
Oh,
but it's still a mono synth, though.
Okay.
Looks cool. I wouldn't have one. But it's there. Analog Solutions Ample. Next one, another release from Soma that is slightly weird and left field. This guy is kind of a bit theremin-ish. So, it's called Flux, which makes sense given it uses magnetism. So, you've got, actually, in terms of its shape, it's roughly similar to something like a Harken Continue Mini, in that it's very wide but very thin. Zooming in on the top elevation for you here, Pete.
Okay, I don't know what I'm looking at.
So you've got those markings for a chromatic keyboard, and I believe you've got 2 controllers? Yeah, you have these 2 Little, I guess they're just permanent magnets, actually. That would make most sense. I can't tell you at the moment. Little sort of bone-shaped things that you can kind of wedge between a couple of fingers. And then you've got the classic left-hand, right-hand type thing. So your right hand will be doing your pitch like it would on a theremin? Right hand's pitch on a theremin, isn't it? Or is left hand pitch? I have no idea. I can't work
the damn things.
Yeah, well, it's not so bad when you've got the quantized one. Right hand pitch on a theremin, yes indeed.
It's always been a bit of a disaster when I've been asked to demonstrate them in the shop.
I mean, what can you do? There's so few professional thereminists around.
But they do seem to be a bit awkward to get going. You have to tweak and twiddle with them until you get them sort of singing properly.
Ooh, this is interesting. The bow, I think they're calling them. The instrument will detect their angle, which is quite cool. So you could use that, I guess, to control timbre or potentially pitch bend or something. That's pretty interesting. Let's see what they've implemented with those. Ooh, I believe it will be customizable. That's cool. It's a digital machine. Apparently it's going to have different synthesis algorithms, price TBA, so we don't know. But there is a cool demo of the prototype in a duet with a piano. Here it is. Just to be safe, let's leave it there. But I reckon this will be a slightly more accessible version of the theremin-like instruments.
I thought I'd been beamed back to the old musical for a few minutes there.
It's pretty cool.
It's most probably in the public domain now.
It sounds
like something out of the...
Somewhere over the rainbow. Is that what it was? It sounded a bit like it.
Possibly. It sounded something almost Edwardian.
Maybe we should take the risk on it. Anyway, here's an extra thing. Supposedly it can be monophonic, duophonic and polyphonic. I'm not sure how you're going to control that, given you've got one dubry implement for your pitch. Either way, there'll be scales that you can use as well, and a staccato mode, which is kind of an interesting concept. We will wait to hear more. It's modular time. We have, with accompanying Loopop video, there is a Eurorack version of the 1010 Music Blue Box, which, as far as I know, requires two Eurorack power connections.
Two?
Yeah, which I've never seen before, which I don't know why. I'm not sure where I saw this, so I'm probably just lying to you by accident, but I have read on Tinterwebs that it needs two power connections. I think it's somewhere on the webpage. Let me see if I can find it.
But it's a digital mixer, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I only wish they would make a version of the Black Box for Eurorack.
Which one was that?
The Black Box is the sampling Groovebox desktop version, which I've got in the studio. But they've got the Bitbox and the Bitbox...
Yeah, Micro? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's it. So they've got the Bitbox and the Bitbox Micro.
Yeah, Black Box, Sampling Studio, and then the Blue Box is the mixer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the Blue Box Eurorack module. Yeah, no, it's on their website. So it uses 500 to 850 milliamps on the plus 5, which a lot of people don't have a huge amount on the plus 5, and then 320 milliamps on plus 12, 82 on the minus 12, and yeah, it does require two power connections.
Oh.
That is odd.
Maybe there's some... I don't know.
Who knows? But you've got a tiny digital mixer if you want it. 12 mono tracks, 6 stereo tracks. You have TRS or USB-C MIDI if you need sync. Lots of headroom with support for Eurorack levels. There better be because it's a Eurorack module. Reverb delay and compressor. It will record 48K 24-bit WAVs, 4-band EQ per track, and you can do 2 channels of audio in or out over USB-C. That's handy. And it's there if you want it. $700.
Seems to be a plethora of mixers. We had the noise engineering one last week, and now this.
And there's another one. And this could potentially factor into your considerations, Pete, because it's quite cool. This is from Bored Brain Music, and it's called Xcelon, either way, it's X-C-E-L-O-N, which is a voltage-controlled stereo mixer with 6 channels. It looks like this.
That's quite a beast, isn't it?
Actually, probably quite a similar size to your performance mixer there, but
yeah, it did have a sort of similarity to that.
Yeah, so you have... yeah, that's pretty cool. So your 6 channels controls have, you can potentially do line inputs in there. So you've got a gain control, two effect sends, a pan, a crossfade switch. I want to see what that does. A mute and a nice big fader with a little 5-segment VU meter. Each channel has a left and right input and CV for volume, pan, and both effects sends. Your effect sends do appear to be stereo, which is cool. And you have control over the return level. Very nice.
Do we know what one of these would cost me?
We'll find out. I want to see what that crossfade thing does. Oh, that's cool. So you can use both the left and right inputs as two separate inputs, and then the fader becomes a crossfader. That's okay. Really neat. Yeah, that'll kind of expand your channel count, kind of. But might be quite useful for performance. Love it. Available in autumn 23. Price will be around $800.
That's not awful for what it is.
Not too terrible. Seems fair, I think. But that's cool. Keep an eye on that one, Pete. And it is black, so it'll match your colour scheme.
Yes, It will.
Okie dokie. Finally, on the Eurorack news, something that may never see the light of day, but there is certainly a prototype floating around. This is a collaboration with 4MS and Bufaco, wonderful companies thems. It's called Meta, and it is another module with a screen, and this module hosts VCVRack inside a modular synthesizer, so the name makes perfect sense.
So it's a bit like my Polyhector then?
Yeah, but with a pre-existing modular synth environment, virtual modular synth inside a real modular synth.
So it's effectively just a computer.
Yeah, so it's likely that it'll be a cut-down version of VCVRack that's running on there, and it appears to be only the standard, the 4MS and the Bufaco modules that they've got there, but I can see the patch cables. It's got knobs on it. I wonder if it's touchscreen, because otherwise it'll be a bit of a nightmare to navigate.
Even with a reasonably large screen in respect to the sizes you can fit into your rack, it's still going to be very fiddly, especially if you've got big, thick, sausagey fingers.
Yeah, so it appears that it could potentially be a make a patch on VCV on desktop, ported over with the assigned controls that you might pick out, which could be useful for sort of extending the functionality of a smaller rack, maybe. But prototype, they may not make it, but it's interesting to see that it does exist and do things. If you are at NobCon, I don't know if it's still on, go and find it. Find out for us, we must know. The last bit of news is a Kickstarter, which is interesting. It's the Schaefer XXI. What is that in real numbers? I'm not very good with Roman numerals. X is 10.
Yes.
Does that mean it's 111?
I don't know what you do when you start stacking the numbers.
Yeah, I don't know what happens if you stack an X. It's either 111 or 21, maybe? I'm not entirely sure. But this is a desktop box that is designed to spatialize sound for up to 8 speakers with a little joystick on it, with a sort of panning sequencer, which is super cool. What I haven't been able to find out from the page is, will this let you set up 5.1 and do panning around that? Or do you have to just put your 8 speakers somewhere, remember where they are, and you can kind of like crossfade? I'm not really sure. But I think it's mostly, do you have analog inputs? Yeah, you've got a couple of inputs, but I think mostly it's intended as a USB, pipe your audio in that way, chuck it out to speakers that way. It's got an SD card slot for some reason. It does have integration with Ableton Live, which is pretty cool. A functional prototype exists, but yeah, I can't quite figure it out. Yeah, I don't know if it's designed to just pan between some separate speakers, or if it's actually supposed to be kind of an immersive audio controller and actually sort of localize sound with more traditional setups like 5.1 or Quadraphonic or something. I really have no idea, but it might be worth watching. So it is the Sonalux Schaefer XXI, or 21, or 111, I have no idea. The end of the news brings us, of course, to the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. Pete, what have you got for us this week?
Right, this week I've got a relatively interesting YouTube channel called Design Theory.
Tell us more.
Design Theory is run by John Mariello. He's an industrial design engineer and also a professor in industrial design at California College of Arts. The channel basically looks at a lot of design theory, but has some interesting titles with some very clickbaity kind of titles, I would have to say. So one of them is Why Society Hates Creative People.
Does seem a little bit clicky.
Why Are Designers and Creative Elitist Journalists? Yerkes.
Interesting.
How brands use design and marketing to control your mind.
That might be quite interesting, actually, because there's definitely a lot of that angle in the marketing world.
Yes. Anyway, that is my multimedia recommendation for this week. The YouTube channel Design Theory.
Wonderful. I've got a short and simple one for you prog rock fans out there. It is a tune from Big Big Train from an older album, English Electric Part 2. It is Keeper of Abbeys, and it's very classic prog rock feeling and an excellent example. And that, of course, will be on the Rack Addicts After Hours Tunes Spotify playlist, tinyurl.com/rackaddicts. Go and have a listen. There's still no screamy stuff on there. You're safe for now.